This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. Gun proliferation activist Jamie Guilt was shot in early March by her own four-year-old son. Guilt, who runs the Facebook page Jamie Guilt for Gun Sense, was shot in her back when her toddler got a hold of her gun while in the back seat of her car. Just a day earlier, she had posted a statement saying, "Even my four-year-old gets jacked up to target shoot with the .22 caliber. The stunning truth is that there are so many guns in the U.S. that toddlers fatally shoot more Americans than terrorists. There is a clear line between gun ownership and gun violence. State by state, the more guns a state has, the more gun violence there is. Yet, according to the NRA, the largest gun lobby in the country, guns make people safer." Well, calling out the epidemic of gun violence in a devastating new documentary called Making a Killing, Guns, Greed, and the NRA is my guest, Robert Greenwald. He's the founder and president of Brave New Films. He's an award-winning television feature film and documentary filmmaker. He's known for such powerful films as Outfoxed, Rupert Murdoch's War on Journalism, and Walmart, The High Cost of Low Price, Koch Brothers Exposed, Unmanned, America's Drone Wars, and many others. I'm so pleased to welcome to Rising Up, Robert Greenwald.
Thank you. It's good to be with you again, Sonali.
Now, you opened the show with the story of a woman who was shot by her estranged husband. And I want to talk about her and the story of the boy who was accidentally killed by his friends and all of that. But before we do that, let's play the trailer for our viewers and our listeners of your documentary, Making a Killing.
I was just staring at him, and he just stared right back at me. And that look in his eyes, it was like, you're dead.
I heard Carrie's mom screaming in the background.
Terrell was at church. Somebody came by shooting, and Terrell was shot.
People are getting up, running, screaming, jumping over each other. AJ grabbed my hand and took two steps, and I felt his hand let go.
One begins to understand that this is a lobby for the gun manufacturers.
Why would anyone trust the NRA when the gun companies are paying much of their salaries?
You don't hunt with an AR-15 unless you're hunting humans.
Gun companies want to sell guns.
You know, they're selling death.
I really like standing up there with Wayne LaPierre and handing him a big fat check.
The NRA gave Brenda and I gold jackets because we give them a lot of money.
He said to me, "She's gone."
I don't know what to do.
Please, I have my estranged husband is here.
Okay, does he have a gun?
Yes.
Just standing there and telling my father, "Don't shoot."
We are dying inside. Something's got to be done. This is happening too much every day.
When something's wrong, say it's wrong. And if you can do something to make it better, you do.
We shouldn't be able to go out and buy a gun like you buy a loaf of bread.
I don't understand how this is still happening in the United States of America.
I can't do this alone.
Today is the day. Now is the time.
Making a Killing, Guns, Greed, and the NRA. You just watched the trailer of the new film by Robert Greenwald. Robert, the film is devastating and powerful. It's like this big story that we hear about, but yet we just don't delve deep into. And one of the things that struck me right in the beginning of your film, because you opened the show with the story of a woman who was shot by her estranged husband, what hit me was that gun violence is so many issues. One of the issues it is a women's rights issue. Violence against women is inextricably linked to gun violence. And I was really impressed with that powerful connection you made at the beginning. I'm wondering if you can comment on that.
Yes, well, the film is based around five deeply personal stories, but each story then leads to policy, to information, as you just pointed out, about the way guns are used over and over again to shoot, kill, terrorize women, and it goes on and on and on. And the NRA and the gun companies, to their eternal shame, are profiting from this. And what the film does, and this is where film can be wonderful, is it really connects the dots so that we see Kate Ranta and her three-year-old son, who's there when the estranged husband breaks in and shoots at Kate and shoots at his grandfather. And we understand that this happens because the NRA and the gun companies are making millions and millions and millions of dollars. It is no accident that these tragedies continue.
I mentioned the toddler accidentally shooting his mother at the beginning of our interview. And there are so many accidental deaths in the United States. One of them is a story that you profile in the film as well, the story of Eddie Z. Holmes, a boy who was shot by a friend from school. Why was this an important story to tell? Because when we think of gun violence, we think of, you know, crazed people going around shooting. Here was a story of a boy who was accidentally killed.
Well, I think what it's very important for us to all understand, and more people are feeling this, that everyone's life is literally in danger now. Church, schools, homes, you name it, because of this absolutely obscene amount of money that is being made by the gun companies and the NRA. And the fact that a mother who will never see her child again, he was killed when he went to play with some friends because the state does not have a safe lock law. There are so many simple ways to protect guns, to lock them up, to provide safety measures. But over and over again, the NRA and the gun companies fight against the simplest legislation that would save the lives of so many children. And as a parent of four, I can't even imagine how one gets through the day having experienced that. There's a section in the film about gun violence in the South Side of Chicago, and two different mothers on camera talked to me about the fact they literally tried to commit suicide after the death of their children. It was so extraordinarily painful. And the shame of it is it's not necessary. And unlike many other issues, Sonali, there are simple legislative and cultural solutions here.
Now, going to the issue of basic safety features, why is the NRA against smarter gun technology? How does that impact the bottom line of gun manufacturers? Because the subtitle of your film is Guns, Greed, and the NRA, right? So greed is a big factor here. I mean, do these gun manufacturers think that if more people are killed by gun violence, more people will buy guns thinking it'll keep them safe? So if guns are less safe, they can sell more guns? I mean, I can't think of any other reason why they would be against smart technology to, you know, just safety catches on guns.
Well, the gun companies, hand in hand with the NRAs, are selling us a narrative storyline, and it's based on fear. So if the idea is terror, fear, scared, and you have to have a gun at all times, going into schools now, campus carry, and the very gun in your home, you can't lock it up because maybe some person will attack you and the 2 seconds it might take to get your gun is not acceptable to them. They do not want any information, any legislation, any policy that goes against the basic idea, which is be scared, be frightened, be terrorized, and the only solution is a gun in your pocket at all times.
And it's amazing to me how much misinformation is put out there by supporters of gun proliferation. And I don't like calling them gun rights advocates, by the way. My favorite term is gun proliferation activists, people who want to proliferate guns. But you hear so much misinformation from them, such as, well, cars kill more people than guns do. And so what's the point of regulating guns before we regulate cars? I mean, I like that you sort of take some of these points and expose them. Can you comment on this one issue that I brought up?
Right. Well, one of the things that gives us all encouragement is that the arguments that the car manufacturers use, the arguments that the cigarette companies use and the arguments that the gun companies use, all bound together in a combination of greed and profit, always say the same thing. Oh, cars don't kill you, do they? No, it's bad drivers. Therefore, the car companies resisted seat safety belts, resisted anything, child safety seats, resisted speed limits, resisted barriers. Similarly with the cigarette companies, they resisted all those laws that now we look back on and say, how did we ever live without them? One day, it will be the same with gun companies.
So let's talk about the money, the greed factor. How much money are we talking about when it comes to the NRA? I mean, basically, the NRA is a lobby association for gun manufacturers. And so these gun manufacturers give the NRA money to politically lobby in favor of, you know, having as few gun regulations as possible, right? I mean, it sounds like they're sort of swimming in money.
Well, the NRA is a huge organization. Their budget is hundreds of millions of dollars a year. And of course, the NRA, the gun companies, and some elected officials make it increasingly difficult to find out exactly how much is given. But as you saw in sections of the film, Sonali, we very directly connect the fact that different gun companies and executives at gun companies who are living in mansions with buying private jets, buying the most expensive racehorse ever as a gift to his wife. I mean, all these obscenities of the one half of the 1%, and it's being funded by death. And there's no other way to think about it than that. And that's what we want to do with the film. And that's why we're making it available for free to all over the country. Our goal, and we're going to achieve it, is to have 1,000 screenings by Labor Day, which will make it one of the most widely distributed documentaries ever. And at those 1,000 screenings, we're asking people to take action, and our goal is 100,000 actions, so that we'll really be able to have an impact, not just upsetting ourselves. And believe me, myself and the team that's worked on this for 2 years, it's been devastating, but to change policy. And the film, is, as some of the other films, is a tool to do that, but it's completely free. So whether it's a church or a medical school or any place you name it, people will be able to see the film and screen it. And we're having a tremendous response of people signing up to do that.
And Robert, I want to talk to you about just this. You are the sort of the quintessential activist documentary filmmaker. I mean, people, you know, make films for various reasons. Some do it art for art's sake. And your goal, you know, throughout your career has been to shed light on issues so that people can use the documentaries that you make as tools to make political change, progressive political change. But this issue of guns seems to be one of the issues that just stymies Washington. No matter how many, you know, gun control activists and advocates we have in Congress or the White House, it just seems to over and over again, no matter how many massacres stun the nation, it seems to be an issue that we have to just feel helpless about because nobody, Congress just will not pass any sensible gun regulation. How do you hope your film will break through this wall that's been built around keeping guns sacred in the country?
Well, I think there's a couple of things, and actually there's some very, very encouraging news. And the movement for rational gun policy, following some of the other successful social movements, particularly the LGBT movement, is focusing on the states right now. And there's been real progress in many states, and there's going to be significant progress over the next few years with ballot initiatives, with electing people who are openly, for the first time, using as part of their campaign, saying, I will not buckle to the NRA. I want safety for everybody. I'm not willing to give up the safety for my constituents for a small number of people so they can carry a gun wherever they want. So on one hand, there's that encouraging possibility. And what I think the film can do is be an asset to the movement, the probably 100 and 150 gun groups that we're working with, the groups that are working, as you started talking about, Sonali, on domestic violence, suicide. I mean, hundreds of thousands of people are shot because of suicide. And as the mother of a young boy who shot himself and he'd never had any history of mental illness at all, she said if there'd been a waiting period of a few hours, he would be alive today.
I'm so glad you brought up the issue of suicide. I mean, there have been studies showing the correlation that, you know, everybody has low moments. Some people dip into depression. Those people who consider suicide don't live continuously in a state of wanting suicide. The moments come and go. When there's a gun near you at the worst, most vulnerable moment of your life, when you feel like taking your own life, you're much more likely to kill yourself than if there is no gun and you're able to pass through that moment and you're able to sort of live through that moment and maybe get the help you need. The more guns there are, the more gun deaths there are. And that correlation is a very, very straightforward one. So this whole notion that you know, we need to have more guns because that'll keep us more safe, that doesn't work in the case of suicide. Going back to the domestic violence issue, the gun rights folks say, the gun proliferation folks say, women should arm themselves to be safer from domestic violence. If you're suicidal, more guns doesn't help.
Absolutely. And as you said, the data is very, very clear. And the other thing, by the way, that the NRA and the gun companies do, and this is just unconscionable on any level, is they fight vociferously so that we can't get information and statistics and data. They try to prevent any government agents from going in and researching this information. But on suicide, the data is out there, and it's very clear that it's exactly what you say. And the young woman whose fiancé, 6 weeks away from getting married, she talks about it in the film, and she says it's an impulse, and impulses will pass. And if you can't walk out, immediately get a gun, then that impulse many times will pass, and the person will be alive. And how obscene is it that we have this state of NRA gun companies working together so that anybody can get a gun at any time and shoot themselves? But again, also here, Sonali, there is some progress. It's limited, but there is some progress. Some of the gun stores in New Hampshire, because they're seeing how impactful the suicide is and how horrific it is, they've started to, on their own, take action so that they're not so easily available, and not anybody could just walk in and walk out with a gun in 15 minutes.
You point out in your film the obscene ease with which somebody can get a gun, you know, without any training, and depending on the state you live in, of course, without background checks. In Texas, you need a permit to sell lemonade, but the University of Houston recently put out a statement to its administrators and faculty warning them, on the best behavior, the behavior that they need to engage in that'll keep them most safe because of open carry laws that now enable students to walk with guns on campus. And Texas is one of these bizarre states as well. This issue of background checks, training, having a waiting period before buying a gun, are these reforms that just kind of chip away at the edges of gun proliferation, or are they important? I mean, do we need to start with reform? And we're not talking about getting rid of guns altogether, right? Because, I mean, frankly, I'd be fine with a completely gun-free country, but I know some people would prefer reform.
Well, change comes from in many different ways, and I'm a believer, and Brave New Films, with almost all the work we do, of the sort of, it takes a village to make change. So some people will be of the opinion and argue and work and do create civil disobedience. No guns, no place, anywhere. And there are people at the other end who will work for a simple lock 'em up lock that sells for $13. So between those two differences, there's a whole pool of possibilities. And that, in a way, is what's most significant here, Sonali. There are so, so many different solutions. Everybody will have a different response to what they believe the solution is and what they want to do. But because of social media, because of the enormous possibilities to reach friends and acquaintances and elected officials and the press, everybody can in fact do something. And as we've seen with some of the other films, Walmart or Koch Brothers. When people get involved, it's an amazing experience. And so we expect by Labor Day that 1 million people will see all or part of the film. And we expect from those 1 million people to begin to really work and show the film and create change. We showed it in, some of it in Washington, D.C., and it was a real pleasure seeing members of the House making notes as they were watching the film, writing down facts, making observations, and you know that that was beginning to seep out and impact them, so they will begin to talk about it in a different way, not from the limited box of Second Amendment, but from this framework of guns, greed, and profit, and that will make a big difference over time.
So give us the website, Robert. I'm sure there are many in our audience right now who would love to show the documentary to their church group or their school or their community center. Where can people start that process?
They can go to makingakilling.com. They can sign up exactly as you said. I think we're going to have over 100 or 150 churches, mosques, synagogues signing up again in the next 2 months, many community centers. I think about 125 schools, colleges, high schools, community colleges, medical schools. There's quite a spread of different organizations doing it. And it's very, very simple to go and sign up. You can get a teaching guide if you want. You can get a guide how to run a house party if you want to have it in your home. And people should not underestimate how important it is that each one of us do something. There's two audiences here. There's preaching to the choir, which is very, very important to do. The choir needs energy. The choir needs information. The choir needs us to connect the dots. So they are talking about greed and profit. And then there's also the people who haven't maybe thought about it that much, aren't sure what their position is. And the best way we're going to be able to reach them is with other people who know them. It's not going to be with paid advertisements, and it's certainly not going to be if we took this movie and put it in a theater and charged $15.
Well, Robert, I always appreciate the barriers that you break and the work that you do. We'll post a link to makingakilling.com from our website later today and let our audience know how they can watch the film as well. Thank you so much for everything you do, Robert Greenwald.
Thank you.
Robert Greenwald is the founder and president of Brave New Films, an award-winning television, feature film, and documentary filmmaker. And we've been talking about his film, Making a Killing, Guns, Greed, and the NRA. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.